You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 8 of season 3. If you have just joined us, I am Robin of At a Tired Witch on Instagram, and I'm joined by the beautiful Maria of Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
Why, hello.
Welcome. Before we get started, I just wanted to briefly acknowledge that you probably saw that we did not do an episode last week. Or I guess 2 weeks ago. And if you didn't see our social media, that is simply because there were really serious situations going on within the occult community regarding the alt-right, white supremacy, transphobia, racism, et cetera, et cetera. These were allegations that were brought, you know, to the internet. We are not going to get into them here because, quite frankly, we don't feel like that is the space to acknowledge this sort of thing. But we did not record last week simply to give space for that on the internet.
And I do want to stress that we weren't like involved in it.
We weren't. I know that we made a statement about it on Coffee and Cauldron's Instagram. And I know people were like, what's going on? And quite frankly, we were not involved in it, but simultaneously, like, this is not a gossip podcast. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I did a statement about it on Twitter. If you want to look at that, you can. But simultaneously, it was simply to give space for people that weren't sharing experiences and talking about that. And we didn't want to take away from that. So, yeah,
because we don't want people to listen to us just because of that.
And yeah, yucky.
Yeah, we want you to listen to us because you like what we have to say.
We are not a podcast that has ever and will ever capitalize in situations that deal with stuff like that. So that's all. We're not going to get into it any further. We just wanted to explain here on the podcast that we have not been involved in any kind of accusations of white supremacy or similar. There seemed to be a little bit of confusion by that. So just to be clear, we're not racist or transphobic here. Yuck. But we just wanted to lightly touch on that. If you listen to us before, or if you're brand new, every single week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can use them in your magical practice. Now, that being said, welcome to eclipse season, everyone. Are you having fun? I'm not. Welcome to Hell on Earth. We are currently in eclipse season, and the most recent, the upcoming lunar phase in, I don't know, conjunction to this episode, is going to be the full moon in Scorpio on May 15th, but it is also a lunar eclipse, as well as retrograde starts on May 10th and will be ending on June 2nd. It would be my personal opinion that although I tell people, do whatever you want with eclipses, that's not my business, it would be my personal recommendation to tell you all to not fucking touch this one with a 10-foot pole. while the Scorpio full moon is going to bring a lot of emotional material to the surface, we are going to be looking at energies that deal with intimacy, transformation, and we can also be exploring things like abandonment in our own self-worth and sexuality, because it is a full moon eclipse as well as Mercury retrograde. You might be finding that dealing with emotions and communication is going to be a bit of a shit in a handbasket. I always tell people that when it comes to eclipses, that you could do what you want. They are historically known as an omen, but simultaneously different paths and practices have different exploration when it comes to eclipses. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely am not going to sit there and say, don't do it. But simultaneously, given the fact that it is a Scorpio full moon and eclipse and retrograde, I personally would recommend just not.
If someone does work with I'm going to work with the full moon, but I'm going to work on it after the eclipse happens on the
good idea.
Yeah. On the second day of the full, I mean, third day of the full moon. So I'm going to work with the crone aspect.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
When we have things like the Scorpio full moon, because Scorpio moons specifically deal with things like intimacy, transformation, and self-worth, mm-hmm. but then we also mix it with the retrograde, where we have things like misfires in communication, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. All I'm going to say is that when we have all these things together, you can definitely work with the full moon if you want to. I'm definitely not trying to be fear-mongering, but what I will say is that make sure that you are really checking in with yourself mm-hmm. in things like how we are communicating our intimacy and that transformation. You might be feeling a little bit extra, like you want to text the ex or do magic that deals with getting back together with the ex or similar. Just really have a check-in with yourself before deciding to explore magic at this time. Mm-hmm. Because you might be finding that your personal desires are perhaps being a little bit... how do we word this? Unkind to yourself mm-hmm. In terms of things like love and intimacy. Because remember, intimacy, although, yes, it can mean things like sexuality, intimacy is really just anybody that you're willing to be vulnerable with. And vulnerability is subjective. Mm-hmm. Vulnerability has a lot of different faces and a lot of different masks. You might be being more intimate with a best friend, telling them a little bit more vulnerability. You might be being more intimate because you're going to go and have sex with somebody. It's layered, right? Mm-hmm. Intimacy is subjective. And so all I would say is, if you do want to use this full moon, do make sure you have a real and sincere check-in with yourself before moving forward.
And I do feel like if you're also going to work with this moon, Scorpions are huge, is a protection sign. So, you know, like sting back and stuff like that. And it actually... it relates to our discussion today. But I would definitely be careful with like gossiping or anything that will, you know, sting back. And also you can do like during the crone moon, which I will be talking about later, I will be involving those aspects to protect myself from things like that and that sort of aspect. So
yes, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So just as I say every single podcast, which I'm sure everyone loves, but anyways, so if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a tarot card. We go over the universal meaning and then our own interpretations of the card. Hearing other people's opinions helps beginners form their own opinions, or even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. So this week we're going to talk about the Five of Wands. On the Rider-Waite-Smith version of this card, you'll see five people standing like it looks kind of like a muddy wet ground on muddy wet ground, and they're like fighting with their giant wand staffs, and
very homoerotic.
Well, I mean, have you looked at the tip of the staffs and wands? I mean, Anyways, the universal keywords to this are competition, conflict, challenges, and chaos. So when this card pops up in readings for me, most of the time it comes up as confusion and chaos. To me, the people on this card can also look like they're saying, hey, look at my stick. Look how big it is. Yes, phallic jokes aside, with all that in mind, a situation with this card could come up would look like if someone is confused on how they should move forward when it comes to their growth and life path. They may have multiple offers or desires about where they want to go, or someone is being told that what they want and where they should go by like many people, including adding additional confusion about what they actually want. And either case, if this card comes up in that way, I always say that while things look confusing on the outside, you know, step back, look at each option, you know, write a pros and cons list. And when you can jump into the fray and tackle the direction that you want to go in, do it, you know. And alternatively, but keeping with that overwhelmed, chaotic theme, this card can also come up in situations like starting a new job or job hunting. You know, it is so overwhelming at first. You know, so many things are going on. You've got to learn the lay of the land, your job, about your colleagues, dealing with where you want your job to go, the direction you want it to go in as well. And in this case, all you can do is just jump right into the fray so you can emerge the victor, which we see this on the next card, you know, the Six of Wands. This can also be said for like times of competition. Like, let's say you are up for a job promotion and many people are vying for it. If you want even a chance, you've got to go for it. You can't just hang out on the sidelines and hope for the best. So how do you view this card, Robin, dear?
You know, I thought we were going to disagree about this one. I was like fully prepared to be like, Maria. but I fully agree with you. I view this card a lot as a Seven of Cups card. Very similar. The difference being is that instead of the Seven of Cups being kind of an isolated situation where we're overwhelmed, there are people involved that are pulling us in those opposite directions. So yeah, I really don't have very much to add here. I really feel like I was prepared. I was prepared to beef you today. And here I come. Just absolutely bewildered that we have agreed. So yeah, we're you and I, listen, will you be the AJ to my Justin Timberlake?
Yes.
I do feel it as a real conflict card, and that conflict coming from, like I said, outside forces. The positive side of this card is I do see it as something that sometimes can be a challenge that we welcome. So, like, in a very, I don't know, kind of mundane sense, you know those... Oh, what are they called? They're like the warrior challenges where they you do like, it's like you're racing and, but it's got like obstacles and stuff.
I know what you're talking about, but I'm brain farting on what the name is.
They're like
warrior, right?
I know what you're thinking of. It's like something that a regular person can do, and they usually
You're talking about the crazy one where the like
they run like a 5K and they'll be like, yeah, and I'm 4 miles of that you're like running through the mud and you have to climb this wall.
Spartan races.
Okay, so I was thinking Trojan, but I knew that was wrong. Anyway,
Trojan, like on keeping like a with the phallic theme, I'm just kidding.
In a mundane level, right, it could literally mean something like that, where you have this challenge that's going to be incredibly difficult, but you've signed yourself up for it, fully aware of it, that it's going to be hard and it's exciting, right? It also shows things like sportsmanship, playing like football together or soccer and teamwork. And so on a positive side, I do feel like there is that kind of conflict, but it is welcomed and something that you're aware of. But on the negative side, like I said, I feel it very much so like a Seven of Cups card, except for you have external players involved.
This deals with like our passions and where we want to go. Yeah.
Yeah. So this week, Maria and I thought that we could talk about reversal magic, both reversing your spells that you've done and what that looks like for us, as well as reversal magic, where it is sending magic back to somebody who magically sent something your way, perhaps a hex, jinx, etc. A mild inconvenience.
Or big inconvenience.
And kind of just like what our opinions are on that. Do we do them? How do we do them? Etc. 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 So let's start with reversals, where we're sending it back to somebody. Do you do them? Okay. Why do you do them? When do you do them, Maria?
Okay. So I'm more likely to use like a reversal spell than a hex. Like they're actually part of my normal spell rotation because technically they're protection magic. You know, mm-hmm. as a witch who has a larger following on social media, I have to be careful because people will just throw things at me because I can. And also as like a pansexual woman in a lesbian relationship, you know, I get bad energy directed at me like every weekend with my wife when we do things together as a family with our little one.
You know why that happens. And like, let's just be honest. It's because your wife isn't me. And if I was your wife, nobody would send that your way. I know it. I know they would.
You're my online wife. I mean.
And like, some would say that marriage is more valid than one that is containing actual nuptials. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Yeah. But like, I think most people don't even consider that like non-witches can actually do damage depending on how much energy they have built up when it comes to like their hatred, disgust, or even like jealousy. Mm-hmm. And they can and will direct it at you. And, you know, reversal spells not only protect you, but, you know, sends energy back to sender. So they experience what they directed at you. What was I going to say? So talk about how I reverse my own spells first. What we said?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't actually, like, I think I've only, to be honest with you, I think I've only reversed one of my spells, and that was a really long time ago. I don't even remember.
Wow, what you the guys, spell was she's about. A really cool witch who's never fucked up once. That's crazy.
Am I lazy? Anyways, you know, I did the whole candle reversal where you take a knife and make and you cut the bottom of the candle so you can light the other end of the wick, mm-hmm. which is probably something I would do now as well. And I may even add like herbs I used on the previous spell to the candle and with the addition of charcoal to draw the energy back in. Mm-hmm. I could also see myself like writing out a spell on a piece of paper with washable markers, filling a basin full of like salt water and charcoal and washing off the words in the water.
I thought of like you saying this made me think of this. Have you seen when people like use white erase markers in water and then it like and like alcohol and it like floats to the surface?
No.
Yeah.
What?
I feel like that could be utilized in some sort of spell. I'll find it and send it to you. I could be fucking this up, like how you do it, but I think you use alcohol and water and white erase markers and it like flows to the surface.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's yes, science, please. Actually. I'm not trying to brag. Not trying to brag, guys, but I'm a scientist.
Yeah, she is.
I'm a medical doctor.
Let's see the degree, Robin. Just kidding.
I have a degree of the land, Maria. Okay. Have you ever considered that?
Should I talk about how I use like regular reversal spells for like people, or do you want me?
Well,
do you
let
want
me to go say first? How
yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
my
yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
So when I unlike Maria, do fuck up spells sometimes. Maria, of course, is perfect and never does it, but I do fuck them up sometimes. And when I fuck up a spell, I try to recreate the spell, but in reverse. So, like, if I had ash, let's say, from something I burned, if I still had that from the spell, mm-hmm. I would use that as the base of working backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try basically to go, like, literally do the spell backwards to the best of my ability. Obviously, there are limitations to that. Like, let's say you burnt a candle, mm-hmm. right? Well, then we're going to flip the candle upside down, kind of like Maria described. But I would put the leftover ash from that other candle at the base mm-hmm. Of the spell and then work backwards from there. That is how I have done it historically. Now, I don't do them that often, although I'm giving Maria a ton of shit right now. In reality, I've probably done it about a dozen times ever. In like 20 years, so that's really not that much.
I'm just lazy. Like, if a bad spell goes out there, I'm like, oh, well, shit. I'll just do another spell to combat it.
It's in God's hands now. that's Jesus Christ mess up. That has nothing to do with me. out of sight, out of mind, baby. But that's historically how I've done it, is I do my best to work backwards from where it ended. And I've found good success in that, in doing it that way. So, of course, there are limitations, like I said, and you're going to have to essentially make do with, like, you know what I mean? There's only so many things that you can recreate. So do your best, of course, to work backwards from that. If you have things like leftover wax or leftover ash, you can always put that at the base of the spell in the working backwards. Godspeed.
Mm-hmm. But I think situations that warrant that sort of thing, like, I think, when do you, like, reverse spells? Like, when do you feel like you need to?
The times at which I have done a spell reversal is because I was not literal enough when I was doing my spell, where it has maybe worked in a different area than I would like and a little too well. So, like, for example, maybe doing, like, a spell, let's say, to bring in money. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're like, okay. Like, I need some more money right now. I would like some prosperity. Mm-hmm. And then I do the spell, and all of a sudden I'm, like, so swamped with, like, orders or work that I actually cannot keep up, and I'm drowning. That has happened.
It has happened to me, too. That's why I'm laughing.
one time I did a spell. A couple years ago when I did the launch with Tired Witch to include more like items, like tools in my store. I did a spell for that to be successful, and I actually had so many orders that I had to shut the shop down because I'm one person. I don't have a staff. I was overwhelmed. I literally was working sun up to sundown for like 5 straight days just to get orders packed out. Like, I had like a TikTok video go viral. Don't know why that one went viral. Well, I do. It's because I'd done fucking spell work for it. But I was like, it was like literally one of those situations where it was careful what you wish for. Mm-hmm. Because I was like forgetting to eat. Like, my back was fucked because I was standing literally 15 hours a day. I was so overwhelmed. And it was like, yeah, I was glad to have success, but at what fucking cost? And so I had done a reversal at that time because I was like, this is too much. Like, thank you so much, universe. Too much. So that was an example of a time that I had done a reversal.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So how about for you? Like, what do you do for reverse spells for people throwing shit at you?
So for me, I don't typically hex people. It's not that I don't believe in it. It's just, to me, it's always way too much work to, like, do that sort of, I don't know, kind of directed energy exchange. Yeah. Not that I don't believe in them. I have done them in the past. It's just not my historic go-to. Usually when I'm in a situation where I might need to hex someone, they're already sending that shit my direction because apparently they got the time and I don't. So I just do a reversal in situations like that. Like, nothing bad will happen to you if you're not sending shit my way. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do reversals for that. And there are two methods that I have that are tried and true methods. The first one is the upside down candle reversal spell. So basically, you get a black candle. Some people leave it at just the black candle. I get a black candle and a red candle, and I cut them in half. So I get a chime candle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I cut them in half, and then I heat the bottom, well, like the center bit. So I get the top half of the candle is the red, and the bottom half of the candle is black. I heat up the centers so that way I can essentially glue them back together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I flip that candle upside down, and I put it in like, sometimes I'll put it in like grave dirt. Sometimes I'll put it in like shells, powdered shells, like eggshells, crab shells, that sort of thing. and then I will light the candle upside down to send stuff back their direction. And of course, this will obviously have things like writing the target's name on it, etc. And I put it in front of a mirror. And there might be a spell that goes with it. Depends, of course, on the situation, etc. And then my other go-to is the triple action reversal candle. You know, I'm a big fan of glass, like, votive candles, novena candles. They are like a special kind of candle that you get from a botanica. Typically, the top half is white and the bottom half is red, or the bottom half will be black. Depends on the manufacturer. I prefer the ones where the top half is white and the bottom half is red, but that's just personal preference. I wouldn't say necessarily that one is better than the other. But the white half is symbolizing kind of the purification and cleansing of what's going on. And the bottom half is representing sending it back. So like I said, black or red works. I prefer red. To each their own.
Yeah.
I always dress the candle with a reversing oil. I put it in front of a mirror. It's you can add herbs like rue or dill to your dressing candle at the top. It's again, totally up to you. And then I put on a piece of paper under the candle who the target is. So who I think is sending shit my way, I put paper underneath it. And then I'll do like prayer or spell over the candle and I'll leave it burning. I never put it out. Even when I go to sleep, these candles, until it's gone.
My wife is somewhere like,
ah. Yeah, your wife's shaking her fist in the air like, don't tell people to do this. It's not safe. Listen, guys, it's not safe to do that. But sometimes you got to weigh up with risk to reward. What about you?
So, like, I have a mirror that I charge annually, actually, with the Scorpio full moons. And I think Scorpio full moons are absolutely perfect for reversal magic because, you know, scorpions sting back, as I said, like, at the beginning. And they protect themselves. But anyways, on the back of the mirror, I write out things that I want protection from with a marker. I have things like gossiping, hexing, ill intentions, and, like, many others. So I almost always add to it every time I charge it. So I don't know. It has a lot of words on it by now. But I give it a good cleanse before I set it out and hold it and fill it in with my intentions of safety, protection, like envisioning a bubble of protection over me and my family and our belongings, and set it aside. And also like also envisioning the mirror itself. And so whatever is trying to like hit us just shoots back towards the person who shot it in the first place. And I do say, like, it is important, though, if you are do decide to charge a mirror outside to get it back into the home before the sun comes up, because it can reflect up into the sky, which is dangerous for, like, planes and birds and things like that. So I recommend setting an alarm before sunset to go and get it. And if you are forgetful, I would even do the spell if you don't think that you'll remember to get it. I also have like a return sender spell that I use for many different things. It is basically a bill for what someone has done to me and that they owe me for the pain that they have caused. And I usually put like just what they have given back to them. And the payment is like with the universe, and I would work for Hecate. on the spell. And so what they see fit usually, you know, what mm-hmm. they will give back. Anyways, I write on the bill and in red ink, I mm-hmm. write what they owe and I fold it 3 times away from me. I place in an envelope and sometimes I put domination herbs in the envelope to help. But I mm-hmm. would place that either on a windowsill or for a full moon cycle, or I would place it in front of a mirror for a full moon cycle. But those are the 2 things that I do. One's a continuous thing and another one is just kind of to help when like yeah. the mirror fails. But I do have like other ones. I think I've sent you one of my more extreme ones before, yes. but we won't get into that.
We're not going to get into that. That's don't ever ask me about that. The next time you think about asking me about that, don't.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And
yeah. Listen, at the end of the day, I personally believe that reversal magic, although it can be baneful, in my opinion, it is baneful protection.
Yeah, 100%.
Reversal magic is ultimately protection magic, and it comes in a lot of different forms. As everyone knows, I wear a mal de ojo every single day, which is another form of protection magic.
Yeah.
A reversal, if you will, of sorts. Mm-hmm. and I make every member of my family wear one. I think that they are just another form of protection magic. If you're not being a shitty piece of person, mm-hmm. a shitty piece of person, she says. Are you being a shitty little piece of person, Maria?
Sometimes.
If you're not being a shitty person and you're not hexing people, then you don't have anything to worry about. And this is yeah. not, of course, to say that I'm anti-hexing or that you shouldn't hex. I think yeah. that hexing definitely has a time and a place. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there are other options out there before we hex. In terms of the energy exchange.
Yeah. And I do want to say reversal magic is another reason it is dire to reconsider before hexing another witch. Even mm-hmm. if it is for good reasons, most witches who have been practicing for a while will have a reversal spell in place all day, mm-hmm. every day. It is also a reason that like many of us have to be careful with non-hexing things, such as gossiping, doing something super passive-aggressive, but directing mm-hmm. that energy towards another witch. Because mm-hmm. that energy that you are like unknowingly directing at that person might come and like come right back at you. And mm-hmm. yeah
but just something to consider. Mm-hmm. Like I said, definitely not anti-hexing here, definitely yeah, not anti-baneful magic here in the slightest bit, but there is a lot of nuance when it comes to these things. Mm-hmm. And as much as I hate the word nuance, as we all know, or at least Maria knows because I bitch about it all the time to her, as much as I hate the word nuance, it is true. Like, there is a lot of nuance when it comes to these things, and hexing is not your only option. We have a lot of options here, and not that one is better than the other, but I personally feel like one has less chances of repercussions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, completely agree.
So that's just my opinion, but I hope it's helpful.
Yeah. It was a good conversation. 10 out of 10.
Thank you. I think that we're both really smart, actually.
So smart. Big brains.
Before we move into the next segment, Maria and I have a very cool announcement that we probably should have brought up at the beginning, but we didn't. So... Maria, do you want to tell the fine folks what we have?
Yeah. We have merch. Like, really cute, funny merch that we think that you guys would like. And yes. we hope that you would check it out. It is actually in our link on our link tree on Instagram and also Twitter, Facebook, mm-hmm. whatever you're listening on. Mm-hmm. So you can easily find it. And we hope you guys like all the stuff that we made. It is made by us.
We designed everything. We spent way too much time doing that. And we have a Patreon exclusive one that will have come out the week before you're hearing this. So we're really proud of it. We hope you guys enjoy it. And if you're somebody who has been asking for merch because I know a lot of people have. I hope that you like it. We hope that you like it. And we appreciate you all so much for supporting the Patreon or the podcast, not the Patreon.
Yeah.
And possibly the Patreon too.
Yeah. And also supporting, like, you buying merch actually helps us keep going and keeps us ad free, just like yes. our Patreon members do. So we appreciate
Thank you.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
Thank you so much for asking.
Oh my God, I didn't laugh.
Yay. I know, I'm proud of you.
I'm so proud.
What is stirring my cauldron this week is actually just getting outside. I've been chronically online, and I know that there is the joke about like going outside and touching grass. Mm-hmm. But I've actually been doing that in a pretty major way. My husband is a cyclist. He's a semi-professional cyclist, and he's been doing hill climb training. And one of the places that he goes and hill climb trains is directly next to a campground. Mm-hmm. The campground is currently closed, which means there's no other people in there, but it's also out of cell signal. There's picnic benches. There's places to sit and play. And me and Smokeball have been going to the campground with him, and we've been like having a picnic and being outside and just like being in nature and enjoying each other and like leaving my phone in the car for like 3 hours. And it's been really fun. I really enjoyed it.
I love that.
So plus cute. We get to like sit on the sideline and cheer on Smokeball's dad. So
yeah,
I think like that's
that.
Fun.
That is
Especially
fun.
They started clapping and doing like yay. They go like ah. It's pretty
so
funny.
Cute.
So we like we cheer on daddy, and it's very cute.
Honestly, if stirring was my turn, I would have said the same thing because
yeah,
we've been going out on the weekends and going to our little nature spots, and it's been so nice. Especially
so nice.
It's gonna get so hot and so fucking humid that like
I'm enjoying the cooler weather while
well,
I have it.
Yesterday was 85 degrees here, and then today it's 55 and raining.
Oh,
global
no.
warming doesn't exist, right?
No, not at all.
That was sarcasm for the record before somebody
sarcasm.
Says that I'm like
sarcasm sign. Hold it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, slash S before somebody says that I'm a global warming denier. That was a joke. Jeez.
What are you talking about? You're such a flat earther.
It's true. We all live in a big bubble, and there are people in the sky controlling everything we do.
Oh, Truman Show. Love it.
Literally. Hee hee. Oh. So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, let me tell you. So, ever since I started using like Twitter more, the more disappointed like I've become with the witch community. I don't know if it is Twitter or what, but it brings out the worst in people. And like not just people, like it also like not only witches but people in general. It's like everyone becomes the people we loathe on Facebook, but it's fine because it's Twitter. And there are like so many people like passing judgments on other witches, not even like righteous judgments, but people who think like
righteous.
They're better than others because they have like done more research or practiced in a certain way. And despite almost all of witchcraft being UPG, which is coming from different cultures and different like walks of life and experiences. And then like in the same breath, in another tweet, they'll be like, oh, we're all different with different practices, but like the damage has been done. And I think people really need to own, you know, just people really don't think that like their shit doesn't stink on there. And it's just so disheartening to say the very least. And like that type of stuff like ruins our community and like disenchants newer witches who were once enjoying their practice. And mm-hmm. I'm just overall frustrated, which is why like I left Twitter for like the time being. I'm just so sick of it. Like we're adults, but people are acting like mean kids in high school, and it's not a good look. And I don't want any part in it. So I removed myself. And I know, like, the stuff goes on in other spaces and even in person situations, like with witches. Mm-hmm. But, like, witches, I don't have, like, a community, like, where I am, where I live. So, like, I sought it out in online spaces. And I wish people would grow up and, like, seek validation outside of hot takes and being rude to their fellow witches because they don't understand their practices.
I will second the fact that I fucking hate hot takes.
Yeah.
I hate them. I've made like two ever that weren't even hot takes. They were literally like the most lukewarm of takes because I was frustrated about something else. These things were tepid at best. a tepid take. But I hate them. It's just like, most of the time they come off as just really mean. And it's like,
Yeah.
I don't know. I try really hard to be Sweden. On the internet, and I feel like that gets me nowhere. So I get you.
Yeah, I don't like to engage in that stuff, and I don't know. It's just so stressful, and I don't know. Just people like picking like, why do you use that herb? That doesn't make sense. Well, maybe it makes sense to them, Karen. I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. Just take a second, and I don't know. I'd rather just like remove myself than be annoyed. Like I'm too compassionate of a person to be on Twitter, I guess.
What's she trying to say? She's just too nice.
I am too nice.
She's too nice.
I'm too nice.
But, it's true. It's so true. I've been saying for like two straight years that you are not built for Twitter. I've said it to you. I've said it about you when you're not around. I'm like, Maria's not cut out for Twitter. I don't want her on there. And then you join Twitter and what, 3 weeks later, you're like, this place is mean.
Well, I feel like, you know, that one gif of Community from the show Community where what's his face walks into the room and like there's a fire going on and someone's like swinging an arm and that's how I feel like Twitter is every single time I go on there. It's just too much. Like I'm already stressed in my everyday life and I'm not going to like add to it.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, I don't know,
because I do like, I know my that people
issue
say
with Twitter. My issue with Twitter is not necessarily the same as yours. My issue with Twitter is that I feel like there's always something going on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually really consume Twitter much. I just show up and like do a tweet about how I'm like farting in the Walgreens. And then people think I'm like subtweeting a situation. And I'm like, I actually have not read Twitter at all. I just genuinely am farting in Walgreens. And that's my issue with Twitter is that people think that I know everything going on. And I can assure you that I have no idea what you're talking about. Which maybe I need to be better about that before tweeting. That's my mistake. But
yeah,
I never know what's going on. And I'm just like, you know, y'all, this thing happened. And people are like, oh, my God, she's talking about this person. I'm like, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I promise you I am not. I am not that smart.
You're very smart. You're so smart. You're just remove yourself from Twitter after posting, which is fine.
Yeah, I do. I don't know. I think more people should do that.
I know. I try. I really do. I can't, like, I know that you're not supposed to care what other people think, but I do care what other people think. Like, I wish people were more compassionate and nicer to, like, fellow people. Like, it's disheartening to me. Like, it's like, well, this world is fucking garbage, which we all know it is. But it's like, it just makes it even worse. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
She's not built for it, guys.
I'm not built for it.
Let's make fun of Maria when she's not around. Now that I know you're not on Twitter, I'm literally going to go on Twitter right now and I'm going to do a tweet and I'm going to say that you smell like farts. I'm tweeting it right now.
What I should do is I should tweet, delete that. Like, tweet, delete that.
There, I've tweeted it. I've said that you smell like farts. So everyone listening to this, you can go back and look and you can see exactly what day we recorded.
Oh no.
If you've just joined us, every single week we talk about shops, creators, Instagrams, freaking anything that we like that we think is pretty cool that maybe you would like too. So that being said, Maria, who are you into this week?
Okay, so I'm actually going to say a book. So I read A Spell in the Wild by Alice Tarbuck. It is so good.
Like, I thought so that was a fiction.
No. It's not.
I didn't know
it's
that.
It's about her experience with witchcraft. Like, it's more of a biography than a help thing, even though it has history and all that in it. It's basically a full year in her life as a witch. But it's
that's
just
really interesting.
Yeah. I don't like just the book, the way that she writes is so enchanting, and it really makes you, it's just, she's very good at describing things, and it feels like very magical, and it makes you want to practice. Like, she's a very, like, I go out into nature witch, and mm-hmm. it makes you want to go out into nature more. And also, she acknowledges, like, stuff that a lot of witches don't. She acknowledges that she is able-bodied. She acknowledges that she comes from places of privilege. And mm-hmm. that was very refreshing to read. And it's just, I don't, like, it's just one of those books where you're, like, you're reading history and you're reading about this person's experience and you feel, like, very wrapped in. Like, it's not, like, a snooze fest or, like, you're being forced to read a biography about someone that's, you know, stale. But no, like, I devoured it. It was a very good book. And I feel like it's good for, like, any witch that's having issues in their practice where they're feeling like they're not in such a good place magically, and they just need mm-hmm. a little bit of inspiration to get, like, back on track, to feel like they're going back to their magical self. I highly recommend that book.
Well, now
that
I know it's a nonfiction, I'm definitely going to check that out. I literally thought that that was a fiction. When you shared it, I was like, oh. No, what a nice little fiction book. But now I know, and I'll read that. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's really good. It is written from an English, like, in England, like in the UK. No, in the UK. Like, she's not from England, I don't think. But I don't know. It was just really refreshing. And I would reread it, like, easily.
Yeah?
I would reread it now. Yeah. So, who are you loving?
I just found this account. Somebody sent it to me, and whoever that was, if you're listening, I'm really sorry. I don't remember who it was. somebody sent it to me, Binks Olson. Okay, mm-hmm. But they did a deck called the Forest NB Tarot. Okay, I am obsessed. Like, I love
so
the
cute.
Artwork. It's so fucking cute. I've never seen anything like it before. Like, I don't know. I just think it's so original mm-hmm. and so cute. And, like, I really want it.
It looks like it kind of like Animal Crossing, like, sort of.
Yeah. Thing. It's kind of like Animal Crossing fan art style.
Yeah.
It's not Animal Crossing fan art, just to be clear.
Yeah.
But it is very stylized in that sort of way. I really love it. I want it super bad.
It's
by the way, everyone, my birthday is July 5th. If you want to buy it for me, I'm just saying. Because
just
I am doing a no tarot deck purchasing this year.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody wanted to purchase it for me. It's a loophole.
Now I know what I'm going to get you for your birthday.
I really want this deck. I think it is so freaking cute.
So funny. You're like, I'm not buying tarot decks this year. Like, I'm on my fifth deck that's going to be
coming. There's one tarot deck that I am buying on the 9th of this month, because I've been trying to get my hands on it for 2 years.
What is it?
And they're doing a final, like, press, like, purchase, and it's first come, first serve, and I literally have an alarm on my phone
what
to try
it?
To get it.
What is it?
I talked about it once on here. I'm not gonna say it. No, I'm not gonna say it, because what if somebody listens to this and then they buy it and then I now can't have it? I'll talk about it on the next episode if I get it, guys.
Okay.
But I know that's maybe really paranoid, but I don't care. Deal with it. I want to get it, so I'll send it to you privately.
Okay.
Right. Out of here.
Yeah. Then I'll buy it and steal it. I'm just kidding.
No.
No, enough. I've spent enough money. Like, I'm fine.
Right, right, right. Not another black and gold deck.
Hey, the ones I've been getting lately have not been black and gold.
That one you got that you talked about last episode, the photography one, is so beautiful.
Of the drowning world.
Oh, so beautiful.
They're so pretty. The cards are so big, but they're so pretty.
So pretty.
Like, I have a very awkward way of shuffling them. It works. It works. But, like, they're so pretty. And they're, like, an absolute joy to use. Like, I think it's my favorite deck to use right now.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope to see you again on Friday, May 27th for our 9th episode of Season 3. Or hopefully you can catch us on the In-Betweens and Coffee Talk. We actually didn't pick a topic this month.
No. Well, a lot of things are going on. So
We'll probably wait until next month.
Yeah.
You can keep an eye out on our Instagrams or Twitter. You can follow us at Coffee Cauldrons on Twitter or Coffee and Cauldrons Pod on Instagram. Or you can just head on over to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, for more information.
Or even better, you can join us on our Discord tier, which is First Coven on Patreon, so we can answer your questions next time in our part 2. If you've been loving Coffee and Cauldrons, if you could please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify, we would definitely appreciate it.
Yes. You'll even get to hear our lovely, sexy, sensual voices for an additional 30-ish minute episode for being on our Patreon casting tier and up.
Again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram.
And I'm Rhea from Emery the Arcane on Instagram.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
One,
two, three.
Bye, witches!
How was that on your end?
That actually sounded so perfect.
Yay!
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.